because someone is poor or struggling, that they lack judgment. If anybody needs morality policing, it's rich folks, for crying out loud, not people who are struggling to put food on the table and keep a roof over their heads.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
And here's Heather with the weather.
Well, it's beautiful out there, sunny and 75, almost a little chilly in the shade. Now, let's get a read on the inside of your car. It is hot. You've only been parked a short time and it's already 99 degrees in there. Let's not leave children in the back seat while running errands. It only takes a few minutes for their body temperatures to rise, and that could be fatal.
Cars get hot fast and can be deadly. Never leave a child in a car. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
What is the worst movie franchise? Do you have one, Conrad?
What are your thoughts on Transformers?
I saw one Transformer movie. I think it was the first one. I didn't even know what the hell was going on.
I can't get into them anymore because, you know, it's the same every movie now.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be nice if you knew which Transformer. I know there's like testosterone and overload and whatever they, you know.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Brian, do you buy your tickets on Ticketmaster?
Whether I want to or not, I do.
Bella Devan. We're going to talk a little bit about monopolies.
Live Nation and Ticketmaster together control 80% of the primary ticketing market. They have the market power to bully people into submission. And then you trap consumers into basically having to pay like junk fees that are basically created to create profit for the company.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Produced by Civic Media.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Alba Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alba.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Alba, along with our outstanding producer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. Great to have you along on a Friday, June 21st, 2024. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Great day to be Miss Linda, better known as Mom, back of the RC, celebrating her birthday today.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Mom. Up there in the old RC, went out and had a lovely time at the Madison Area Parade of Homes. Ended up at a home in Merrimack, which was spectacular, by the way. And then went out to eat at Fitz's on the Lake, a great place to grab a bite to eat. So if you're ever up that way. And we rode the ferry as well. If you've never done that before, go up to Merrimack on either side of the Wisconsin River there, and it's free. I mean, there's something you don't find anymore, right? It doesn't matter whether you're a biker or a motorcyclist or a motor vehicle. You can get on the ferry for free and ride across the Wisconsin River. It's a quick little trip, and there are ice cream stands on either side. My niece, my youngest niece, Isabel, was with us yesterday, and she is a teenager now, about to enter her senior year at Eau Claire, in the Eau Claire Public School District, and she was looking at the equally handsome teenage, apparently a young man, working the ice cream stand, and was a little annoyed that the fairy went so quickly because she couldn't go over and order ice cream from the handsome young man behind the ice cream stand.
How sad.
I know. She was hoping for, you know, a little love and romance during the trip on the ferry, but it did not happen. We had a great time on riding the Merrimack Ferry, eating out at Fitz's on the lake last night up there. And check it out. Great folks, great food at Fitz's on the lake up there in Lake Wisconsin. Coming up a little bit later this half hour, Mr. Zommers will be in with another edition of Board Game of the Week. Tomorrow going to be a little dicey. Weather-wise.
Dicey.
I didn't even mean to do that, and I did it. Yeah.
Well, it happened.
Really. But yes, it will be a little dicey weather-wise. Be alert. Several portions of the state tomorrow, depending upon where you are at, have weather alerts for tomorrow in terms of some possibilities of some strong weather. So that time of year, we're in the summer. And then after that, I think Sunday, the rest of next week, for the most part, looks pretty nice. Look, can we look at the street cam really quickly, Mr. Zommers? This is fantastic. This is one of the reasons I love being in Madison. Here we have a group of musicians walking up. There you see the far side there, walking up State Street. I'm not sure where they're going, but there is music in the air. And there's a big musical event today. By the way, our friend and ongoing contributor and creative consultant to this show, Mr. Chris Pauls, better known as CP, his band...
Super Tanker.
Thank you. I wanted to say Steam Tanker. That was it. Super, yes. Super Tanker is playing here in Madison. I know our own Rocker, co-host of Max Inc. Radio, is also going to be out and about today with his band, I believe. And they're going to have all kinds of coverage tomorrow on Max Inc. Radio of this big musical event in Madison over the weekend. So a plug for Max Inc. Radio. You can hear them right here out of WMDX every Saturday night from 6 until midnight. But look at that. What a lovely day here on State Street. And there's another musical group it's just out of view from our camera right next to the Overture Center here, but they're also doing a big street musical thing as well.
You know, I looked up a Super Tanker playing tonight, and it is free at 5 p.m. at The Yoke Madison. I'm going to have to check that out.
Yeah.
I was going to come back here and do some more work after my doctor's appointment I have this afternoon. I guess I'm coming back here and going to a concert instead.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, a shout out, and I just saw this on the Civic Media chat. I did not know this, but today, not only is Mom's birthday, but our friend, our colleague, and now I can say my co-hiking buddy, Earl Ingram.
Happy birthday, Earl.
Earl Ingram Jr.'s birthday is today. And let me tell you, for 52, he looks fantastic.
And I'm sure he'll appreciate you saying that. It is true.
He may be a couple years older than that. But no, he said it on his show. I mean, he turned 70. And he does not look it. And B, I can tell you, after spending a day and a half with the guy, he does not act his age at all. He is in fit shape, walks 10 miles a day sometimes. And he's an all around great person as well.
I wish I walked 10 miles a year. No, I'm kidding. That's a gross over exaggeration.
So Earl Ingram, happy birthday to you, my friend, and may health and happiness be yours in the year ahead. You can hear Earl every morning on the Earl Ingram Show from 8 until 10 across the Civic Media Radio Network. And then at the bottom of the hour, after Mr. Zommer's Board Game of the Week, we have our friend and ongoing contributor, Peter Rapine, managing editor of E-Bombs World. He will be in with a lighter look at the headlines, the week in review with Mr. Peter Rapine just after the news break at 1:30. I want to get to a story off of WISP Politics. Great folks over there. If you do not subscribe, you should. It's WISPolitics.com. WISPolitics.com. They had one of their great luncheons here this afternoon. Headline coming out of that, Public Service Commission Chair Strand says under and unserved areas of Wisconsin could have broadband by 2030. In a very conservative estimate, Public Service Commission Chair Summer Strand said at the WISP Politics luncheon yesterday that she believes every underserved and unserved location in Wisconsin could and would have broadband access by 2030. Since 2019, the state has invested roughly $200 million in broadband and is receiving $1.1 billion, that's with a B, from the federal government. Strand says the PSC is hoping to start making the federal grant money available for the build-out as early as next year. The PSC's broadband office is currently working with their partners at the National Telecommunications and Information Administration to create an accurate list of underserved and unserved locations in Wisconsin. Here's a little statistic that may surprise you. I know, I mean, even when I see this, I'm still surprised. And I was someone, when I worked for former State Senator Dale Schultz, he had a particular staff person who likes to be nameless and faceless, but we'll just say his name is TJ. But he worked tirelessly on helping rural communities in particular get broadband. Here's a statistic that's going to shock a lot of people. Over 410,000 homes and businesses in Wisconsin have seen new or improved high-speed internet access since 2019. 410,000 just since 2019. However, Strand said the remaining locations are the hardest to reach and most expensive to build up. Quote, "It is becoming harder to reach the remote locations that are left," unquote, Strand said. Strand also said that the PSC did not take a position on the right of first refusal bill, one of the most lobbied bills this session. While Strand said it's hard for her personally not to have strong feelings on the issue, given her background in construction, the PSC did not weigh in on the bill because, quote, "policy decisions are best left to the legislature," unquote. But she noted transmission infrastructure is essential. And this is a really important thing that I think a lot of people don't get. Having grown up in a rural area, having served a couple of terms on a city council in a rural area, I think for a lot of our urban friends, the idea that people don't have access to broadband or even cell service, it just seems unfathomable. The fact that there are still parts in Wisconsin that use dial-up to access the internet. A lot of people would say, oh, you're lying. That's just a reality. So there are many places in rural Wisconsin where you cannot receive broadband internet nor cell service. Now back to this story from WISP Politics. Quote, "We cannot have the green energy transition without transmission. It's an essential piece," she said. "Our infrastructure is aging. Transmission infrastructure needs modernization. We need grid modernization. We need grid expansion. We need the infrastructure queues to get going at the regional transmission level. We need the seams to talk to each other together." That was from the PSC director. The bill passed by the Assembly, but was not voted on before the Senate adjourned. The measure would have given utilities already doing business in Wisconsin the right of first refusal to construct, own, and maintain new transmission lines that connect to one another or to the existing ones. Strand also said that she is concerned with stress and added duties the PSC staffers who often move on to higher paying utility jobs. She said the commission may be requesting more positions and would like to see pay increases for staff. Quote, "Our staff is very professional, very dedicated," she said, "but the workload is staggeringly significant. I worry about the burnout more than anything else," unquote. This is a really, really important story. And as someone, I don't consider myself a telecommunications expert, but I know just enough to kind of understand because I've seen some of this stuff. And part of the reason that the larger telecoms don't go into rural areas of the state is because it's just not profitable or not profitable enough for them. they can't see big gains to their shareholders, so they say, why bother? Or even worse, they'll buy the rights to an area, promising the legislature, oh yeah, we'll do that. But then, in the terms of Marsha Brady from the Brady Bunch, something suddenly comes up. Oh, well, we intended to do that, but we would have done it, however. And then the poor folks in the rural areas of Wisconsin are left with nothing. And more often than not, we have great entrepreneurs, Wisconsinites, in local communities who are helping to bring utility services, in particular broadband, to these local communities. But we need, and I don't know all the intricacies of this bill, so I don't want to go too far out on a limb, but on its face, I would agree that you want local Wisconsin companies to have the right of first refusal, because like most things, if the decisions are made closer to home, companies are going to be more responsive. 855-752-4842. If you want to weigh in, 855-752-4842. Back with your phone calls and Mr. Zomer's Board Game of the Week. And then Peter Rapine with A Week in Review. It's the All Ball Show for a Friday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
The big winners are in for the Scotty Summer Contest.
Exciting. Let's listen to the calls.
Hi, who's this?
It's Tori.
You're one of our grand prize winners.
All right, man. Great to be here this morning.
We got some good news for you.
Okay.
You are one of our grand prize winners.
Really?
Yes.
Awesome.
Winning is fun. Just ask Tammy from Baraboo and Tori from Kewaunee.
Thank you. That's great.
Listen for future chances to text and win on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out. Because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 20 now past the hour of 1 o'clock on this Friday, June 21st. Coming up on Board Game of the Week with Mr. Zomers and then Peter Rapine from EPOM's World with a lighter look at the week in review. The actual humans doing actual things.
And as always, there's some crazy stuff.
I cannot wait. And I usually don't look at these links until right before the piece, because I want to know it in real time with all of you. So that'll be great. Talking a little bit here there before the break about this WisPolitics luncheon yesterday. You can find out more details at WisPolitics.com. PSC Chair Summer Strand, talking about the need to get into more parts of Wisconsin, to bring broadband to all of Wisconsin by 2030. And, of course, this takes money to do this. But, you know, my former boss, Dale Schultz, likes to say, look, we deserve nice things, too. Meaning that it doesn't matter whether you live in Milwaukee. And this is something that Earl Ingram and I talked about when we did the show up in Baraboo. There are parts of inner city Milwaukee that don't have services. They deserve nice things. And there are things out in the Driftless area and in the North Woods of Wisconsin that also deserve nice things. And when we say nice things, you know, basic things that most of us take for granted, such as internet service. I mean, most kids can't even do homework anymore. You can't register or you can't apply for a job, even the most basic jobs anymore, most of the time, without internet. It's become more than a luxury, it's now a necessity in the world. And we've talked about this before on this show. When it happened, United States Senator Tammy Baldwin has worked diligently and brought millions of dollars into the Reedsburg area in Sauk County in southwest Wisconsin to help bring high-speed internet to places in Sauk County, Richland County, Iowa County, Juneau County, Vernon County, in these rural areas. And thanks to our CEO and owner, Sage Weil, for giving us this one in real time. This is fantastic. Because all, I don't want to say all, but too often we hear about, well, nothing's getting done. What are the politicians really doing? Well, dial this up on the old internet. Put in www.wisconsinatwork.com. Wisconsinatwork.com. Wisconsin is spelled out, and it is the actual word at, A-T, not the at sign. So Wisconsin A-T work, wisconsinatwork.com. It gives you a list of all the infrastructure projects in Wisconsin, thanks to the Biden administration led by Joe Biden and Pete Buttigieg. And mostly, and the work of, in particular, Tammy Baldwin for working in a bipartisan fashion. And this is what I've said before. This is why the quote-unquote boys in the Dells, as they're known, mostly conservative Republicans, business owners of the Dells, why they love Tammy Baldwin. Because she gets stuff done. She brings home the bacon, so to speak, in terms of investing in infrastructure. WisconsinAtWork.com. Great list of things actually getting done. 24 past the hour of 1 o'clock. Time once again for a board game of the week.
Welcome back once again for another board game of the week.
This time, we have a fun food-themed family game.
Fun food-themed. Do tell.
So today's game is Steam Up, a Feast of Dim Sum.
Oh, I like that. I like the title. Go ahead.
It's also, I think you would also like it because it has a lot of fun pieces. So basically tactile, in this game, You have a bunch of, you know, those like steam trays that are usually bamboo.
Yeah.
It has a bunch of those and then little plastic food pieces. And you get in the middle of the table a spinning tray with the different steam trays with randomized food in it.
I love this already. Go ahead.
And you get a random character. You might be playing as a dog or a pig, or they're all animals. And you're trying to assemble the largest feast while following whatever rules your animal has.
All right.
So basically you're spinning around the table full of trays of food and picking the right food pieces you want. And you might draw cards that have good things or bad things that happen to everybody, or just stuff that happens to you. It's pretty simple. It takes about 40 minutes to play, but ultimately you're just trying to get the most food that you can.
So the goal is to have the biggest amount of food in your basket.
Yes. And you can only, like, each character has different rules for what food they can bring, but it's pretty easy to figure out. It's just they have different ones they're looking for, basically.
All right. Very good. And so you just kind of, are there cards, are there questions? I mean.
Yeah, there's fate and fortune cards, you know,
fate
causing.
Fate and fortune.
Maybe you get some extra food tokens this time around, or you get to spin the cart earlier than you otherwise would have to get access to the type of food you want. Things like that.
I like this game a lot because there's fun, there's tactile pieces, and it seems pretty easy to understand. You don't have to spend a half an hour figuring out the instructions.
Right, yeah, it's pretty easy. You're just trying to build a hearty meal, and the game ends when all the fate and fortune cards have been played, and then you tally up your points and see who has the heartiest meal.
See, I love that. I love the alliteration because will it be fate or will it be fortune?
Well, you'll have to find out.
That is my life every day that my feet hit the ground when I get out of bed. Will today be fate or fortune?
You never know.
You never know. It's hour to hour sometimes, quite frankly.
Sometimes minute to minute.
Yes. How much does this game cost?
Oh, it's about $40, depending on where you get it. I've seen it on sale cheaper than that, but I've also seen it more expensive. I would say don't pay more than $40, though.
All right.
But yeah. So that is Steam Up.
Steam Up is the board game of the week.
Steam Up, A Feast of Dim Sum.
See, I like the whole, The Feast of Dim Sum.
Yes. So it's got the subtitle. I keep thinking it's Steam Up with an exclamation point like a lot of other games are, but no, it's Steam Up, : A Feast of Dim Sum.
A Feast of Dim Sum, which I've never been accused of being a dim sum. I have been accused of being a dim wit.
That's fair enough, yeah.
All right, that's this week's board game of the week. That was a very good one. I enjoyed that a lot.
I haven't gotten to play it yet, but I've watched some videos. It looks interesting. I want to play it.
Can you order it online?
You can from, you know, game store websites, or if you must, Amazon. Amazon is one of the places where it's like $45. So I would order it from a board game store website instead.
But you get it there, you get it in 30 minutes.
It's also, I believe it was $40 on Boardlandia, which is a game store located in Appleton.
Oh, really?
And
Appleton, Wisconsin?
I think it had free shipping. I know that's a pretty good game store. I've been there before.
All right. Very good. Any big plans for the weekend, Mr. Zombers?
Not really. I did a lot of the stuff I would normally do on the weekend during the week. Like, I went to a movie. I hung out with my cousin. I hung out with some friends. It's been a busy week for me, and I'm looking forward to just staying home.
Just chilling out this weekend.
How about yourself?
No huge plans. I may end up in the RC again at some point this weekend, and otherwise just kind of preparing next week already. We'll preview this. One of our guests next week on Wednesday, now the interim adjutant general of Wisconsin's National Guard, General May, will be
exciting.
Here. So looking forward to that. So kind of working on shows for next week. Back with Peter Rapine. Don't go anywhere. We can review on the All Ball Show on Civic Media.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matinee on Air.
ABC News, I'm Mark Remillard. Extreme heat continues to blanket the country. More than 100 million Americans under heat alerts. Police in Arkansas investigating a mass shooting on Friday as they say a lone gunman opened fire inside a grocery store about 70 miles south of Little Rock, killing three and injuring 10 others. State Public Safety Secretary Mike Hagar.
It's tragic. Our hearts are broken. Our prayers, along with Governor Sanders, the entire state of Arkansas will be with this community.
Among the wounded, two police officers who exchanged gunfire with the suspect, who was also wounded. David DePapp, the man convicted on federal charges of breaking into the home of Nancy Pelosi and bludgeoning her husband with a hammer, has been convicted on additional charges. DePapp was convicted on state charges Friday, including aggravated kidnapping, which mandates a life sentence. Russia launching a new missile and drone attack on Ukraine overnight, damaging energy facilities, according to officials. This is ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
The Brewers lose again in San Diego.
Hi,
I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers losing 9-5 to the Padres. On Thursday night, the Padres' hero was second baseman Jake Cronenworth with a walk-off home run in the bottom of the ninth. On Friday, Cronenworth was a one-man scoring machine, going 5-for-5 against Brewers pitching, scoring four runs with two more runs batted in.
Towards the gap in right center field. That ball is back, and it's going to be off the bottom. First five-hit game of his career for Jake Cronenworth.
So San Diego has won the first two of the four-game series. Game three coming up tonight on Fox TV nationwide. The first pitch at 6:15. NFL, several Packers players in New Berlin, Wisconsin today to participate in a cornhole beanbag toss tournament for charity. A.J. Dillon, defensive back Carrington Valentine, will compete with another half dozen players from around the NFL. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, showers and thunderstorms are likely. We'll see a high near 73 degrees. For tonight, mostly cloudy and lows in the upper 50s. Mostly sunny, we clear things out for Sunday, a high near 78. And for Monday, sunshine and highs near 84.
Currently 63 degrees.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people.
A new report outlines the types of harassment and intimidation we may face in the 2024 elections, how to identify it, and the legal remedies to address it. It's a report you should share with your local election officials. The Brennan Center for Justice compiled a bewildering list of tactics being used by anti-democracy activists bent on intimidating election workers and suppressing voters. It includes blockading, following, menacing, or shouting at voters or volunteers, intimidation by poll watchers or rogue poll workers, intimidation by door-to-door canvassers or via online messages or telephone, intimidation by law enforcement officers or by bringing guns to polling places, and by harassing election workers online or in person. The report helps election officials identify these tactics by giving recent examples of each, such as the armed vigilantes in Arizona staking out ballot drop boxes, poll watchers who interfered with election operations using mass challenges to suppress black and brown voters, and door-to-door canvassers intimidating New York vote-by-mail voters last summer. Some intimidation is harder to identify, such as when the wearing of a firearm in the polling place becomes intimidation, or how the placement of police officers in or around a polling place can cross a line. We've linked to this important report for you to share with your local election officials from AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
This broad-reaching, well, we can't help people because we can't control how they spend the money, somehow magically doesn't apply to billionaires, doesn't apply to corporations who dodge their taxes every year. The only people who are subject to the conservative morality police are poor people. How dare you?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, more and more UW-Madison students are interested in learning about public policy and sinkholes. Why? We'll find out. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
The Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 34 minutes past the hour, 1 o'clock. Mr. Zomers, little Justin Timberlake.
Yeah, Justin Timberlake is featured in one of the stories today.
We will explain in a minute. Time once again. I look forward to this personally every other Friday. Our friend, ongoing contributor, managing editor of the great website called E-Bombs World, Peter Apine, joins us once again. We're not telling you right now where he joins us from, so don't spoil it, Peter, but how are you?
I'm doing great. Yeah, a little hot today, if that's any...
A little hot where you're at.
Yeah, it's all a little right. Hot, but I'm doing great, yeah.
Oh, fantastic. Now, before we get into the headlines of the week, we have been informed, late-breaking news, by our executive producer here at Civic Media. He, you understand, Peter, he controls the bank of Milwaukee Brewer baseball tickets. We get a bunch of tickets every year. They're for these great club-level seats at AmFam Field in Milwaukee for Brewer games. Luke goes down in the spring. He gets these from Bob Uecker. He stores them in a well-oiled leather satchel that he apparently it's synthetic mink oil he uses to keep it nice and supple. And he apparently had dug around and he found six extries, as we say back home, six extra Brewer tickets for this coming Monday. This is completely serious. June 24th, first pitch, 7:10 p.m. against the Texas Rangers. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to test our listeners' knowledge because we always tell you each and every week where Peter joins us from. The city that he is in. So he is in the same city, correct, today, Peter?
Mm-hmm.
And we will take general area. Give us a call and tell us where Peter Rapine joins us every other Friday for Week in Review. And if the first person with the correct answer will win six, it is a party pack. Six tickets for you and five of your closest friends or people that you want to hook up with, whichever you prefer. You'll get six tickets total. And you're on your way to the Milwaukee Brewers baseball game on Monday the 24th at 7:10 p.m. against the Texas Rangers. Where does Peter Rapine join us today and every other Friday? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Give us a call right now. Mr. Zomers will put you in queue, and we'll take these calls in order that they are received. It is a major city in the United States of America. 855-752-4842. Where does Peter Rapine join us every other Friday? The first correct answer gets 6 tickets to the Milwaukee Brewers game in our beautiful club-level seats next Monday, the 24th. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. All right, Peter Rapine, thanks for indulging us there. And isn't it great to be the subject of a trivia answer?
It does. I feel like Waldo.
Exactly.
Yeah, I feel pretty special today, so thanks.
You are special. You're special to us. I mean, E-Bomb's World is a big deal, and you take time to come on our little show, and we appreciate it so very much.
Of course.
Yeah, absolutely.
Should we jump in?
Give us our first headline. Now, these are actual things that actual humans have done.
Yes. Yeah, I always like to say we're funny, but we're not this funny. Yes. And our first story of the week, the subject matter itself is not funny, but the reaction from the internet is what makes it funny.
Yes.
I don't know if you guys talked about it this week. I'm sure most of the listeners already know, but Mr. Justin Timberlake was arrested for a DUI on Long Island late Monday night after going out to dinner and then leaving the restaurant at like 12:30 in the morning. The next day, Tuesday, mugshot of Mr. JT started circulating on the internet. But the funniest part of it is the details that came out surrounding the arresting officer.
Go ahead.
So picture this. You're Justin Timberlake, right? You're the biggest star of the last two decades, possibly.
Yeah.
And you get pulled over and you're expecting maybe the 19, 20-year-old cop to recognize you. Well, how does it feel when he has no idea who you are? So allegedly, Justin said his name and the cop had no idea, never heard of the name Justin Timberlake. And then he kind of showed his face and the cop still had no idea. So then Justin kind of mumbled under his breath and he goes, this is going to ruin the tour. To which the cop replied, what tour? And Justin, again, under his breath goes, the world tour.
That's fantastic. I mean,
So now the world tour, that kind of what tour is going to ruin the tour is kind of like a meme catchphrase now that people are going to use when, you know, they drop a bowl of soup on the ground or a seagull steals their sandwich.
The world tour. Fantastic that even the biggest world stars to some people are still unknown? I mean, it humbles you, right?
Honestly, shout out to Gen Z. Way to go, guys.
Nicely done. 855-752-4842. We're getting back to this contest here. We have 6 Milwaukee Brewer tickets for Monday, the 24th of June, 7:10 p.m. We're going to give away if you know where Peter Rapine joins us every other Friday. Let's go to the phone lines. Eric in Tosa. Eric, thanks for calling in. Thanks for listening. What city does Peter Rapine join us from?
Brooklyn.
Look at that. We have a winner from Brooklyn, New York. We would have taken New York City, but you even got the borough right from Brooklyn.
I was going to guess Bed-Stuy, but I didn't want to be wrong.
Have you been to beautiful Brooklyn?
You know what? I've been somewhere in New York once driving around as a little kid, but I always want to go back, but my wife went to Queens once, and she never wants to go back. So, I'm going to get her there, though. She'll learn to appreciate it. She was just there with family, so that's a little different, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we appreciate it. Can you use all 6 tickets on Monday night?
I will use all 6.
Hey, you're fantastic.
Most certainly.
Congratulations, Eric. And maybe we want to do the show from Brooklyn, and we're going to hang out with Peter. So maybe if we time it right, you can bring your wife out there. We'll just all enjoy New York City together.
There you go. Yeah. And you said this game's at night, right?
Night. It is Monday night, 7:10 p.m. against the Texas Rangers. Can you make that?
Oh, yeah, for sure. No, I was just going to say, if it was an afternoon game, I'd call in to a remote for you.
Oh, well, that'd be very kind. But no, it's a 7:10 first pitch from AmFam Field. Enjoy the game courtesy of Civic Media. We appreciate it so very much. Stay on the line. Mr. Zomers will get all of your personal details from you, and we'll get you those tickets. Thanks, Eric.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot, Todd.
Have a great day. Bye-bye. Eric in Tulsa going home with 6 tickets because he knows that Peter Rapine is in beautiful Brooklyn, New York. How about you helped us give away tickets, Peter?
That feels great. Wow, right off the bat.
Right off the bat, we have listeners that pay attention. All right, very good. So, there's nothing funny about a DUI, and it was Justin Timberlake's first one. And look, by the grace of God, go I. We all make mistakes. But it is hilarious that this young Gen Z police officer had no idea who Justin Timberlake was.
Well, also, from the report, it sounds like he didn't get far. It sounds like at this certain restaurant, you know, around midnight, they just wait. And whoever drives away gets pulled over a block away. Right. So he didn't go very far. I don't. But not that it makes any less.
But that's good news. I think no one, especially Justin Timberlake or anybody else, was hurt. But when a world celebrity, there are still people who are just I got no idea.
Well, people were, you know, sharing photos of Photoshop Britney Spears pics in like cop uniforms, being like the arresting officer was Spears.
That's hilarious, actually. Yeah. All right, what else? We have real headlines from real wacky humans, Peter Rapine.
All right, so this one is a week old, but it's new for us. This comes to us from Charlotte, North Carolina. Waitress fired for posting photo of a man on a date with his blow-up doll.
So a dude took his blow-up doll with him to a restaurant.
Yes, and it was, you know, a fancy restaurant where the wait staff, you know, wear button-up shirts and ties.
Yeah.
And the photo, so it comes to us from a TikTok where one of the waitresses.
Of course it comes from TikTok.
Yeah, she's filming herself and she's like, guys, you're not going to believe this. And then like turns the camera around and zooms in on what looked like a lovely couple having a great dinner. I mean, hey, I don't want to yuck his yum.
Right.
But she ended up getting fired for it, which is kind of sad because we don't know if this man and his doll are in a committed relationship. We don't know much about their relationship or how serious it is. But if you're working in the service industry and you see someone come in with a blow-up doll, just ask if they need extra napkins or extra sauce. Don't them.
Yeah, well, I mean, probably not the smartest idea what do you call it when you send out a TikTok? It's not tweeting it. What do you call that? Talking it? I'm not sure.
Posting. Yeah. Right. I don't think there's a unique word for that.
So when she posts something on TikTok from a guest in her restaurant, I would think that if a guy brings up his blow up doll, it's fair game. I mean, it's a public restaurant, right?
Yeah.
I mean, what do you expect? People are just going to be like, oh, no big deal. Nothing to see here.
And we don't know if he got her fired. We assume that it was just the restaurant's policy saying, right, you're an employee here. You can't film anyone at dinner. So we don't know if he complained.
Regardless of whether they have a blow up doll.
Yeah.
Was there any word of what he ordered or what she ordered?
No, I think she ate what he got.
I'm sure she did. All right, moving on. As my former teacher used to say, keep it clean. Moving on. What else we got, Peter Rapine?
Okay, so this next one probably is my favorite. So I'm not going to be able to read this headline with a straight face. Okay. Oh, kid makes diss track after grandma. Kid makes diss track about grandma after she reports him missing.
All right, go move. All right, tell us the rest of the story because it's fantastic.
So, a diss track in rap is when you write a song about your enemy, someone that you don't like, and you talk crap about them.
And this this came most recently between who the hell was it? It was
Drake and Kendrick Lamar.
Thank you. Two people I don't listen to, but go ahead.
Yeah, they had a diss, you know, kind of couple songs. They were going back and forth. But this kid decided to make a diss track for his grandmother, who was afraid and worried for him because he had gone missing for a couple days. And the lyrics, all of which are, you know, too vulgar to read.
We can't read them on the air.
We could listen to the beginning of it. It doesn't swear till later on.
Okay. All right, well, here's a little bit. All right.
I just been chilling, living like the whole capping. I'm not missing, let you know. The whole crazy, on God. Did a whole trip, I'm talking about that I'm missing. I ain't missing, I'm just standing on being. And you talking about you gonna get me.
Okay, that's what did it say? Told your dad on me?
Yeah, talk my dad on me. He said I ain't missing.
Talk my dad on me.
Yeah. Yeah.
How old is this kid? Do we know? Old enough to rap,
looks like
I guess.
He's 15.
15 or something. Some teenage kid doing a diss rap about his poor grandmother who was worried about him.
And at the end, he says, F you, granny. F you, granny. F you, granny.
What's the matter with kids today? Who does this to their... I mean, the grandmother is worried about the kid that's missing, and he thanks her by writing a terrible rap song about her and posting it. This is, I mean, for all the good things happening in the world today, there are still a couple of apples in the barrel where you just shake your head.
You know, well, our hands aren't completely clean, Todd, because, right, we're the ones talking about
it. Well, that's true. That's true.
You know, a 15-year-old kid's like, oh, man, this is my moment. I'm going to diss my granny, get my Instagram followers up.
But see, that's the
point. Honestly, I think it's a first. I think it's the first time something like this has ever happened, at least first I've ever heard of it.
But then you bring up a great point. I mean, it just seems like the world today, it's all about getting the likes, the retweets, the posts, I mean, the followers. Mm-hmm. It's all about how can I just put out the most titillating, ridiculous stuff so that people talk about me. And to your point, we're doing exactly what they want.
We're doing exactly that. I know. It works, right?
Stand by. It is Peter Rapine, Managing Editor of EPOM's World, joining us live from Brooklyn. Back with more Week in Review after this.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Look up cheese curds, you'll find this basic definition. Wet pieces of curdled milk.
Huh?
Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, did you guess? It takes 10 pounds of milk, which is a big gallon jug plus a little bit more, to make 1 pound of squeaky cheese curds. Call me your curd girl for this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, where it is 10 before the hour of 2 o'clock. Coming up after the news, weather and sports updates straight ahead. The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Maggie Dawn, every afternoon from 2 until 4. You do not want to miss it. Right now, we're honored, as we are every other Friday, to be joining us live from Brooklyn. And again, congratulations to our listener from Tosa, who is on his way to the Brewers game on Monday with 6 tickets in the club-level seats, for knowing that Peter Rapine, Managing Editor of EPOM's World, joins us from Brooklyn with wild and wacky things that actual humans actually do. These are not made-up headlines or stories. They only curate the best or the worst of human behavior. Peter Rapine, what do we have next?
All right, what we have next touches on more of a serious topic, but in probably the funniest and saddest way.
Yes.
Child faints as Louisiana governor signs new Ten Commandments law.
Child faints as Louisiana governor signs the new Ten Commandments law. Do explain.
So the short is, in Louisiana, they just signed a law making it mandatory to display the Ten Commandments in public schools, which I think, and I'm not a constitutional scholar, that might not be legal.
might not.
As he's signing the bill, there's a young girl standing behind him, and she faints and just completely falls over. And it's probably the best metaphor for not taking care of people in the real world, as you know, like people around you are kind of suffering and you're just kind of being like, yeah, no, I got a really dumb idea, I'm gonna follow it through.
Right.
And
the poor kid, I mean, we've talked about on the more serious parts of our program, the United States was not founded as a theocracy. It doesn't matter what religion that you believe, or if you're not a believer at all, that the founding fathers did not want a theocracy. And now we have Yahoos like we have down in Louisiana say that we're going to make it into theocracy. And while they're focused on this, an actual real girl faints right behind. It may have been a biblical sign, you know?
I mean, yeah.
Right?
No, exactly. Yeah. One of the Twitter embeds that we have in here from a tweeter named Frank Conniff says, "Hope the girl who fainted is okay. She did provide the perfect symbol of Christian nationalism, a typical ignorant GOP politician signing a stupid unconstitutional bill into law while ignoring whatever actual human suffering is happening around him."
Yeah. That's a good way to put it. That's a very good way to put it. Serious, but again, humorous in its own way. All right, what else we have from EPOM's World Headlines for the Week in Review?
All right. So right now, what's happening in Europe is what are called the Euros, or the European Champions.
Yes.
Chip, where a bunch of European countries get together and play a really big soccer tournament. And English soccer fans are known for being drunk, for being loud, for being rowdy. But one English soccer fan found himself in an odd predicament when he woke up after passing out during a game. He woke up in the stadium by himself at 4 a.m. The only person in the stadium, and he filmed it and put it on TikTok, and he looks like a man would look after getting blacked out and passing out in an empty soccer stadium.
The headline is, English soccer fan wakes up in stadium alone at 4 a.m. after passing out during a match. And again, just the fact that he's English and has this kind of look, and you can imagine what he might sound like. My first question, Peter Ray Pine, how does this happen?
It feels like this falls on the stadium security.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a pretty big stadium by the looks of it. Maybe he blended in too well with the chair he was sitting in, or maybe he was behind a big pole or something. But quite impressive. I think he's like the king of English soccer now.
But how do you feel when, like, you wake up and you don't hear anything, and you just, like, when you're behind a bunch of seats wherever you're at, and you look around and you're like, I'm the only freaking person here.
Well, my question is, you put yourself in this guy's in his seat. What's the first thing you do after waking up in the stadium by yourself at 4 in the morning?
Film yourself? Probably not my first thing, you know. But I mean,
I'm walking around. I'm seeing if I can find a warm hot dog somewhere, a cold beer, right? Like, you got free reign in the place.
Right, and that's the thing. You think to yourself, holy cow, I go down the field. I mean, nobody's going to stop you, right?
That's what I would do.
Right?
Yeah, do anything.
man. God love the English, you know. I mean, they're fantastic, All right, Peter Ray Pine, what else? We got Week in Review.
All right, so this one is just kind of short and sweet. It's a short, little, fun, dumb video. And our headline reads, Dude saves raccoon from choking.
Dude saves raccoon from choking. This is real. There's actual photos here. Go ahead.
There's video. So some guys, it seems like they were having a late night barbecue. They're hanging out, having some beers in the backyard. And allegedly they fed a hungry raccoon a cheese sandwich.
All right.
And what happened after is the raccoon started choking on said cheese sandwich. So one of the guys, a hero of men and animals, starts giving him, you know, good solid pats on the back. And the video is maybe 40 seconds, but after like 30 seconds of patting the raccoon on the back, the raccoon spits up a piece of bread and kind of, you know, shakes its head and looks at the guy and kind of walks away and is clearly fine. I mean, he saved the raccoon's life. It's one of the most beautiful videos I've ever seen in my life.
And to see Peter Rapine describe this is to love the entire story. That was half of it for me. Doing kind of an impression of a raccoon just waking up. So the guy truly, basically CPR, or the Heimlich on a raccoon and saved it. As you said, a hero of men and beast.
Yes. Yeah. Dudes rock, as we like to say.
All right. Speaking of dudes, Peter Rapine, perhaps my favorite headline of the week.
Oh, my gosh. So this one we actually covered, man, it was a week or two ago now. And we ran it the same way we ran the Justin Timberlake story. Basically, we just did the best roundup and of tweets and memes about news that 100% of men that were studied in a clinical trial, doctors found that they had microplastics inside of their testicles.
Thank you for the sound effects, Mr. Sommers. This is real. Microplastics found in testicles.
Yes, in 100% of men observed. My grandfather had asbestos, my dad had lead paint, and I've got the microplastics.
This is where we're at with PFAS and microplastics. They are now in our testicles. I mean, holy balls. All right, thank you very much. Peter Rapine from Brooklyn, always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Todd.
All right, Week in Review with Peter Rapine. Find all those stories at EPOM's World. Also, thanks to Matt Flynn for joining us. Thanks to Luke Mathers for giving us those Brewers tickets. And Mr. Zomers, as always, Maggie Dawn is next. Whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Happy birthday, Mom. Keep fighting and keep banging your drum.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Capital Times entertainment reporter Rob Thomas and Wisconsinology website creator, director, and producer Frank Anderson joins the show.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9. Earl Ingram.
This relationship that I'm having with my phone, it's a one-way trip to hell. Al from Milwaukee.
What's her name?
Who?
This person you have this relationship with.
My phone. Man, my wife is listening. What are you talking about, man?
I teach healthy relationships, so you can enroll in my class. It starts at 10 o'clock.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The early summer heat wave continues to impact tens of millions of people, says ABC's Allison Kosick.
The weekend begins with more than 100 million Americans under heat alerts in 15 states across the country. Amtrak suspending service for hours.
The train turned off and we were stuck on the tracks for, I think, maybe an hour or two. With no air conditioning.
In New York and New Jersey, the rate of ER visits for heat-related symptoms up 800%.
Heat-related visits to emergency rooms in New York and New Jersey have spiked. The U.S. ambassador to Mexico said that U.S. inspections of avocados and mangoes in the Mexican state of Michoacan will gradually resume. They were suspended after an assault by gangs on inspectors. And the Edmonton Oilers have won three straight games to force a seventh game of the NHL Stanley Cup Final. This is ABC News. The federal government's okayed more flavored e-cigarettes.
The FDA has authorized the marketing of four versions of the Enjoy brand menthol-flavored e-cigarettes. And announcing the authorization, the FDA has said the benefits to adult smokers from completely switching to a less harmful product was sufficient to outweigh the risks to youth. The FDA says e-cigs are not considered safe, but they are believed to be safer than traditional tobacco products. So far, the FDA has authorized 27 tobacco and menthol-flavored e-cigarette products and devices. Derek Dennis, ABC News.
Paris Olympics organizers are cooling rooms in the athletes' village with a system of cooling pipes. They're trying to avoid the environmental impact of air conditioning. But the U.S. became the latest Olympic team that announced plans to supply their own AC units for their athletes, saying that athletes feel that was a critical component to their performance because of the consistent conditions. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
What is the worst movie franchise? Do you have one, Conrad?
What are your thoughts on Transformers?
I saw one Transformer movie. I think it was the first one. I didn't even know what the hell was going on.
I can't get into them anymore because, you know, it's the same every movie now.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be nice if you knew which Transformer. I know there's, like, testosterone and overload and whatever the, you know.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station.